Let's get a little insight from a guy who knows what it's like to play for the Cavaliers, in fact, but he is outstanding when it comes to breaking down the game. And on the line is Odyssey Sports NBA insider Danny Green. If you're a fan of the NBA, make sure to check out his podcast, Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. Listen to Inside the Green Room with Danny Green on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Danny, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us again.
Hey, Danny.
No, thanks for having me, man. Pleasure's all mine. Thank you, guys, man. It's always great to be back.
All right, Danny, let me ask you a big question. Is anybody in the NBA scared of the Cavs going into the playoffs?
I would think every team in the East, with the exception of Boston, maybe.
Okay.
I don't think they're scared, but they have an appropriate fear.
All right, well, that makes me feel a little better coming for it, because I read all this stuff, they're like, oh, nobody's scared of the Cavs. Did that four-game losing streak out West and in Orlando mean anything in March when you got that kind of a lead?
No, especially when you said, I think Darius out a game, Evans out a game.
Yeah.
People have those streaks. You guys are back now on a 3-4-game winning streak again, so, and you're still resting, guys. You have the cushion to do so. You put yourself in a very good situation. So, yeah. I don't think it means anything, but they do have, 3 weeks left or so. So you want to be playing your best basketball the last 2 weeks. So we'll see how much they rest and how much they put guys in rotation and playing that last week before the playoffs start.
What's it like being on a team, Danny, when coach is coming up to you guys and going, hey, you're going to rest tonight and we're going to try to figure out how to win this one without you? Is there any thought that goes into that, or is it just like – like we're going to purposely play left-handed, so let's run this? Or is it just like, you need a night, take a night?
It's more so, yeah, keeping guys fresh and making sure no injuries happen before the playoffs. It's only smart to do so. So it's great. And because they're able to win games without everybody being in the lineup, it makes you that much deeper of a team and prepared for the playoffs. So it's not particularly playing left-handed on purpose. It's more so, let's be smart about the situation. We have enough wins. We have home court advantage. We don't need these wins. We need guys healthy and in good shape before the playoffs. And we can still win games with, the other guys stepping up or get an opportunity.
Well, from a coach's perspective, is it hard, easy, or when we're in the playoffs, we know we're here, we get it, and we've got to be able to maneuver this? And then how important?
Depends on your team.
Yeah.
Depends on your team.
I think the bigger part of that, too, is making sure guys that maybe don't play a ton, those 10-minute players getting, it was nice to kind of see Tristan get on the floor before he got kicked out of the game last night. But, at some point, right, those guys have to be, they might need them somewhere down the road, right?
Exactly. That's the big plus side of it. So it depends on your team. I feel for Kenny because when everybody's healthy, he has a tough job because you guys have a lot of great players and it's a deep team. But it makes it easier when some guys rest, but it also makes you a deeper team because those other guys get a chance to get, minutes on the road and get more comfortable and get more confidence going into the playoffs. So if something severely does happen, God willing, nothing happens. If an injury happens, you have guys that are ready to play and step up. Or if something is, an adjustment that another team is doing, you need to throw in a guy for shooting. We need Sam Merrill and we need Ty Jerome. We need these other guys to come off the bench, step up. They're ready because they're not just sitting on the bench at the end of the season. They're getting good reps in.
Have you ever been in a position, Danny, where one of these moments where you said somebody causes a team to stumble into a lineup that you might see in the playoffs that worked?
Say that again?
So like a lineup or at least like a five or something like that you typically wouldn't have played because you were resting somebody that all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, this meshes well. These guys play well together.
Yeah, I mean, you give yourself that cushion. You have the time to experiment if you want to throw in, two five, like you see Houston play Steven Adams and Sengun together. You're like, Sengun, you're like, what the hell? Like, how does that lineup make sense? And Jabari Smith, three big lineup. You guys could probably experiment that if you wanted to, but I don't see the necessary need to. But you could find some lineups that may work better than others that you would never try during this time. And you might be able to use it in a playoff series that might give you a different or give a team a different look.
Danny, what's the best advice anybody ever gave you about playoff basketball and trying to understand it? I mean, you've got some hardware sitting in the drawer over there. I mean, you know what it takes to get all the way through it. What's the best advice anyone gave you as a player?
it's going to suck because I'm part of the media now. Ignore the media. ignore the tension because one game you're a scapegoat, one game you're a hero. Every playoff series is different. Every game is a series within itself. And momentum can build off of one play, one possession, one game. Anything can turn. So don't ever think that you're ahead by much. Don't ever think that you're behind by much, you know, but continue to fight and still, you know, stay the course.
Danny Green joining us, Odyssey Sports NBA Insider. Listen to his podcast.
I do this call when yelling in the background. Oh, sorry about that.
It's all right.
Dude, it's all good. Don't
say
worry.
Hi for us in the background. We don't care. Go ahead.
It's all good. We're used to it. Dogs, kids, the whole thing. We're here for it, man.
Cleveland sports fans, you know it.
The kids in the background yelling. Yeah.
That's all right. We get it. I get it for sure.
It happens constantly. We always tell guests we're the best road trip buddies you've got going, too, because we'll help you blow 15 minutes with the best of them.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
you guys are great.
So replay was a big deal yesterday in the Cavs game. Like, it felt like the third and fourth quarter of that Cavs game took forever because they were just stopping and having to look at things. And
Kenny talked about the flow.
Tristan Thompson gets thrown out with a second flagrant because of something that required a bunch of replay. Is there a better way to do replay in your mind than what we're doing now?
I would hope so. I mean, I think it shouldn't take that long to figure out. Like, a lot of people on TV see what's going on pretty quickly. Like, I don't know why it takes so long to make a decision. They have people in offices making the phone calls, you know, upstairs or up top or another state. You know, you have 3-4 referees looking at it, and then you have referees in Connecticut or New York. They're looking at it and calling in. Mm-hmm. I feel like it shouldn't take that long to make the decision. But, yes, I think the biggest thing that's hurting the games is the stopping of play. So many free throws, so many replays. We got to find a way to keep the game moving and, you know, more efficient when you do these replays. So I hope they come up with something soon.
All right. I'm going to give you a parachute here to get out of this question real quick if you want to. But okay. LeBron has been, like, really outgoing lately. I don't know if that's the best way. LeBron's always outgoing. But LeBron's, he's getting a little, you know, it's Stephen A. Smith. And then man, he went after Wendy this week. I'm just like, you played with him. What do you think's going on there?
I mean, he did a Pat McAfee show. Yeah. You guys expect anything less? You know, I'm surprised he let his head. I mean, he went on one show and addressed some things, and I think a lot of it was Pat. But he's also, you know, doing a new pod that he's releasing with Steve Nash. So I think he was bringing some attention to that. But I don't think it's a bunch of back and forth with people. It's him. He doesn't really address things. He addressed Stephen A. once in public, which, you know, he could have probably did it better. And I don't know how much validity he had in terms of feeling like, you know, Stephen A. overstepped his boundaries with his son, you know, across the line and made it personal. I didn't see it or hear anything. Maybe I missed something. Mm-hmm. But from that incident, he just went on, you know, Pat McAfee's show, asked him about it. So he spoke on those things. He addressed those things. And he gave Pat some good stuff. Yeah. Obviously, Stephen A., he's a media head, so it's his job to speak on it. He spoke on it multiple different times on different platforms. Because of his job, and, you know, he's very entertaining and emphatic about it. So it seems like there's a lot of back and forth, but I think it's a more so one-sided than it is back and forth. But it has gone too far, I think. Mm-hmm. I think we need to let it just die, let it lay where it lays, and then leave it alone. But it's news, you know, and people have to talk about it, and it's entertaining.
Yeah, until we get LeBron on Inside the Green Room, I mean, it's all good. It's just stop it, and we'll put him on Inside the Green Room with you, and then we can get him to talk some more. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah, that might not be all good because we might still address more things. And I said I don't think he'll address many more things after that. I was surprised that he did, and he might address it on his podcast with Steve Nash. But I don't expect him to address it any further.
Yeah, I was just kind of,
because he doesn't want to give those guys that type of attention, that type of ammo to feed their viewership or their fans or their platform even more. This is not something he cares to do.
Yeah, I think the Wendy stuff was just kind of weird. I mean, and maybe just because we know Wendy from around here.
What do you mean? Give me your examples.
Well, he's known. I don't know that I've ever heard him call Wendy out before. And, I mean, when he went to Miami, I'm sure, in fact, I know, like, you know, Wendy was here, and then he ended up in Miami, right? And he thought when he was going to ESPN at that point, he was going to cover the NBA. He was not heading to Miami just to specifically cover LeBron, but ESPN said, well, look, we got this gold mine here, and Wendy knows him. And, I mean, I know tensions weren't real good when he first went to Miami, and I know Wendy's just – I've known Wendy a long time. I've never heard Wendy come off as saying, like, he and LeBron are great friends. I mean, it's always been
and
professional.
You don't know him to be a liar.
Yeah.
He's always been – so he's always told the truth. He's always kept it genuine. And, you know, I mean, when people get on podcasts, they talk a lot of ish, man. And, you know, Brown was talking his ish, and it came up, and, you know, Pat McAfee, I think they over-exaggerated. You know, he's your best friend. You played school with him. And then he's like, yeah, you know, he acts like he's my best friend. Wendy's a very well-respected media head by everybody on both sides. So Ron definitely respects him and knows who he is. But I think he wanted to make it be clear. Every move he is calculated, he wanted to make it be clear that everything he says is not coming from him, and we're not that close of friends. So take it with a grain of salt so that, you know, whatever, if Wendy does say something that might come from him, he could say, you know, no, I didn't say that. You know, that's not fully entirely true. So I think it's more so of him letting people know, yeah, I know him, I respect him, but we're not the closest of friends. I don't feed him all information.
That's the fairest assessment I've heard of the conversation, Danny. That was a really good answer. Go ahead.
Thank you.
No, I was looking at Dan.
I've been doing it for a little while. I know how to give the politically correct. even though it might be the truth, to me, it's the truthful thing.
Well, I mean, you've been there. You played with LeBron. Like, you get it. You understand what it's like.
I'll give you credit, too. It didn't sound like tap dancing.
What, from Danny or from LeBron?
Danny? Okay. Yeah, it didn't sound like Danny. You were tap dancing.
No,
I'll give you credit,
so either.
I'm not a tap dancer. I'll give you my truth. I'll give you my answer, but I'll give you in a politically correct form to where it doesn't get, you know, out of hand or out of control, where people might not take it the wrong way.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm not gonna tap dance around. I'm gonna give you the truth, man. And you know, truthfully, I think those guys both respect each other, but I think Bron, since his son's been in the league, he's been kind of tired of the media. And of course, as he's gotten older and the things he's accomplished, still the scrutiny and the criticism that he gets, you feel he doesn't deserve. But that's just part of being an NBA player. Regardless of how great you are, you're still going to get criticism. You're still going to get some scrutiny.
It's fun. At the end of the day for LeBron, I think people just, like, this is just a little blip on the radar, and that when it's all said and done, it's the championships I think players are going to remember, or people will remember, especially here in Cleveland.
I mean, they're going to appreciate him and love him way more when he's gone. They're going to remember all the great. I mean, when you're playing, they look at the bat. Oh, he had a turnover last night. Cool. In the grand scheme of things, when you're done, people look at the bigger picture of all the positives and remember that and remember how great he was. And the league, the world, everybody's definitely going to miss him when he's done playing.
Speaking of that turnover, how crazy was that game last night? That Lakers game. That was insane.
You know, sometimes there's a full moon out there, and I feel like it's one of those moments. You know, they had a night before where they got a tip in, won the game, and then the flip side of it, the half-court shot for Chicago to hit 11 threes in a quarter is great, 11 of 14. So JJ said, that's great in an empty gym with nobody guarding you. So you hit 11 of 14 threes. They did it against defense and contested hands. So give them a lot of credit. Chicago's been balling, man. And so is Josh Giddey and Kobe White. Got to give them a lot of flowers.
Lakers sitting fourth in the West right now. Under them, tied with pretty close to the same record as the Grizzlies, who then turned around and fired their coach today.
What? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The timing of it couldn't be any worse. That's what shocks me more than anything. I like Taylor a lot, and I haven't got a chance to fully play for him. I was around him as a coach. I loved how he coached the stars, criticized them, held everybody accountable, and he was very organized. He let you know rotation. He's communicated, like, he communicated greatly. So I like Taylor a lot. I also had a chance to play for him a ton, but I thought he was a great coach, and I would have loved to have a chance to opportunity to actually get more time with him. But just even if he must have done something outlandish, that's my take on it. Like, something outlandish was said or done for him to be fired at this point in the season. To the front office.
All right, Danny, last question. Any recommendation for Cavs fans as we watch the end of the season play out? Does they just chill and wait for the playoffs?
Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the season. It's a hell of a season. Get probably 60 wins when it's all said and done. I don't know where you guys sit at right now with wins. It's like 57 or 50. How many wins do you guys have right now?
59.
There you go. 61 season, that doesn't come often. So you guys might end up getting 65, which is crazy. 65, 67 wins might be one of the historic best teams, you know, best seasons for the franchise. So enjoy it, embrace it, and then just wait for the playoffs. And once the playoffs come, get ready to get rowdy. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Danny, as always, we enjoy talking to you. Thank you so much. And we're going to check out your podcast as well, Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate you guys, man. Thank you so much. You guys have a good one.
You too. Take care.
Enjoy your weekend.
I love talking to you, especially when he's got stuff going out of the background. I know we were talking about we talked about baseball today. We talked to Danny Green there for a second about that Lakers ending last night against the Bulls. That was insane. If you get a chance, just go back and watch the last 2 minutes of it, of the Lakers Bulls game from last night. And
it's floating all around social media.
Yeah, I mean, so the Bulls win on a walk off shot, a half court walk off shot, and I mean, it was just I don't know that I've seen anything like that in a while. It was just so, the final 30 seconds that lead to a half court winner. You know, Austin Reeves came up clutch there for a second. You know, as Danny said, LeBron had trouble hanging onto the ball at one point, had a turnover. I mean, was that the end all be all in a game? No, but I was just like, wow, I could not believe. And just to watch the buzzer beater at the end is just, it's crazy. So, you know, the Lakers get the ball. They put it in up off the glass. And so then it's 117-116. Then the Bulls end up coming back down the floor, half court shot to win it. And it was just, you know, it was great. It was Giddey that hit the shot. And then, you know, he goes off the floor. And it was like watching a high school ending about how excited the Bulls were about the way he won that game. I mean, it was just, and sometimes I think we, when we get to the pros, that we lose some of that innocence of the game. And then J.J. Redick said after the game, it was devastation. That was a crazy way to lose a game last night. I don't know, just your thought. That's probably one of the best endings I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it was bonkers. It was absolutely bonkers to just watch all the different things that took place in between there, between the Giddey shot. Actually, if you can find the call that Stacey King had, it was hysterical. Because he started going, he started making every single Australian reference known to man when Giddey hit the shot.
Yeah.
That was really funny. He started going Fred Sanford midway through with the way that this game was going of, you know, this is the game that's going to do it. Here comes the big one. I'm coming, Elizabeth. I'm coming to see you. Like, it was absolutely perfect. It was such a fun game. It was such a bonkers ending, and it made for an absolute blast. Can I give you a little bit of news that just came down?
Sure, go for it.
All right, according to Brian Howell, who covers the Colorado Buffaloes for Buff Zone and Boulder Daily,
okay,
Colorado's Board of Regents have approved a new 5-year, $54 million contract for head coach Deion Sanders, making him one of the highest paid coaches in the country. Coach Prime going to be earning over $10 million a year, according to this, to stay in Colorado.
So that eliminates him going to the NFL. Can we put that to rest then, at least for a year?
Multiple reports, Nicole Arbach chiming in saying that it will extend him through 2029. So Coach Prime is not going anywhere. NBC Sports for Nicole Arbach, by the way. I maybe for an hour, it'll quiet him going to the NFL. Maybe for a season, it'll quiet him going to the NFL. I bet you we're going to get those buyout numbers pretty quickly, too.
Oh, that's true.
Because you know that, and that's where it's going to start once again, is when we start getting the buyout numbers, and at which point that we start getting those rumors all over again.
All right, so wait, so again, the numbers on the contract are what?
Coach Prime, a 5-year, $54 million extension. They had year-by-year breakdowns, $10 million, $10 million, $11 million, $11 million, $12 million.
Okay, because his contract was $29.5 million over 5 years,
mm-hmm,
with bonuses and incentives.
Yeah, so now, Coach Prime gets a pay bump.
Do you want to know what AI says he is worth to the University of Colorado?
Please, Andy, tell me what Skynet thinks he's worth.
Well, Skynet thinks Deion Sanders' value to the University of Colorado is estimated to be around $280
million. I mean, goodness, they were selling out that stadium for the first time in goodness knows how long. I mean, it has been great for the university that this is what's taking place. I mean, they have sold it out. That place is buzzing. They're going absolutely nuts. I wonder what year would that be, year three, if this would be of Coach Prime?
So his buyout was set at $8 million. And that dropped $2 million as of January 1st, 2025. So his value, let's face it, how many of you were following Colorado football before he was there? Let's just be super honest. Nobody.
Our buddy Chad Brown.
Yes.
Who went there.
Dave Logan, maybe, perhaps.
Dave Logan. And basically the broadcasters. Yeah. And a couple of sporadic people every so often in the Boulder area, but Boulder was known for far more than Colorado football. But here we are. I mean, it's a great thing. I think it's smart for Colorado to do it. I am fascinated to see what this looks like when Coach Prime doesn't have Shador, Shiloh, and Travis Hunter. I want to see what this looks like. I want to see what his recruiting looks like. It's been a pretty good recruiting class. You know, but it's going to be different. I mean,
let's face it. I mean, he's got, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. He's got the ability to have a high school kid walk up to him and go, yeah, I want to be in the NFL, right? I mean, yes, I know there are other schools across the country that have that, but he brought that to Colorado and they didn't have it before. And then when tournament committees are looking to see if there's a team on the bubble, and if Colorado was one of those teams on the bubble, and you're trying to make your television partners that are paying, stuff with billions in it, you gonna tell me you don't want Deion there? You want Deion there. You need Deion there in the entertainment world. I'm not saying the football wise that it's 100% should be there, but and let's I give Deion credit. I mean, he's brought in super strong coordinators too to make sure that everything goes right. I mean, from a recruiting stamp, I sometimes you look at it and you know what is a head coach of a college football team? Are they the CEO of blank university? And is their job just to make sure that they've got the best players in the country and not necessarily – I'm not saying that Deion doesn't know X's and O's because he does.
Oh, he does, absolutely.
But he's also got guys there that can make sure that everything's in the right direction. And does he have to spend millions of hours watching film on the opponent? I don't know if he does or doesn't. It doesn't really matter. What he has done is he has grown the value of Colorado football just by simply being the head coach. I'm sure he does a ton more than me just saying that, but he's good for Colorado football if you want them to be relevant.
Coach Prime might be one of the most well-known college football coaches going right now. Like, just flat out, Q rating flat out, just ability to walk down the street and say, who coaches Colorado or what school does Coach Prime coach? Like, everybody knows this, and it has been so good for a sleepy program for a long period of time that clearly Colorado likes what they had. And remember, the biggest thing that everybody was scared of was they didn't want to have Deion overshadow the program itself. Remember, we heard that a bunch of different places. And Colorado was the one school that was like, yeah, I'm cool with it. Come on in and win games. And they've done that on top of it. I mean, that's, I think, Andy, at least to me, I think that's the most impressive part, is the fact that he's rolled into a program, I think it was 1-11, and then has been there for 2 years and has lost 11 games in 2 years. I mean, that's surprising. And it's been great for the school itself.
Nick Saban's not there anymore. Urban Meyer's on TV. We can go through all the big name. I just say Urban because we're here too. But,
right.
There are a lot of... I don't know. He has been good for the popularity of the game. I don't think you may not like him as a coach. You may think this is crazy, this whole thing, but he's been good for the game. I guess the litmus test on this is, and if you think I'm nuts, just walk up to anybody and say, do you know who Primetime is? Do you know who Deion Sanders is? And then list, I don't know, the five top winningest coaches in college football that are active and see if they know who they are. Here, you know who Ryan Day is, right? But I don't know, walk into somewhere in Arizona and that someone who you think may not know anything about football and walk up to them and go, hey, who's Deion Sanders? And they'll be like, football something?
Mm-hmm.
And then go, who's Ryan Day? And they'll be like, I don't know.
Is he the golfer? Is that the golfer, the Australian guy? It would turn into something like that. So good for Coach Prime, good for Colorado. Clearly they're happy with what he's done and... we'll see where it takes them.
Yeah, I want to go back and talk about something when we come back to, just because we brought it up with Danny Green. LeBron and some of the things he's been saying lately, and then just kind of where is he going with this stuff right now? Because the Windy stuff really caught me off guard. Like, I didn't expect LeBron to start talking about Windy. Yeah, I don't care what podcast he was on or what TV show. Was it in character? And I think something that Danny told us was enlightening when you look at the big picture. So we'll talk about that when we come back. 216-474-0092.